chapter 2, verse number 9. I think this is our first sermon of the new year, and we want to welcome all those that join us by podcast. A couple of months ago, we started, we were on TV for quite some time, then we shut that down, and a few months ago, we started putting things back on the internet. We've had over 3,200 people sign up for the lessons, over 12,000 that have viewed it. We want to welcome all those that are joining us by podcast this morning, as well as all these the audience, and share that website with people. It's just HuffmanChurch.com. It's a teaching website. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, the word of the Lord declares, "But you are a chosen generation, you're a royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And this is portion of the purpose of the church. Is we are the royal priesthood, and we have studied what that means. The book of Leviticus is the book of the priesthood, but we are here to call Him. We are here to show forth His praises because He's called us into this marvelous light where we see further than we've ever seen. You can be seated. What should be happening is there is absolutely no way, and I want you to listen to what I'm saying, there is nothing that you can do to replace the plan of God to improve your life. God's plan is perfect. Amen. He has brought to us the equipment and the structure of His organized thoughts and plans, that if man will walk in them, that man's life shall be like a tree planted by the water that'll bring forth fruit in its age, in its old age, so to speak. I want to say that I've been standing behind this pulpit now for 21 or 2 years. And when we started this church in a little back room building over here, 20 by 40, in this strip center that was behind us, we had no idea that someday we would purchase this almost 11 and a half acres, build all these buildings, do what's been done. But God had a vision. He had a plan. And what should be happening in the lives of all of you that attend a church, any church, is there are 5 qualities of a believer that it should be producing in your lives. When you go to your doctor, you go to receive a certain prescription or to find out what health you are in. When I go to an attorney, it's usually to find out how I can be healthy. And we have professionals in every venue of our life that we look to. A shepherd, a pastor, is someone that, if he is accountable to God, is giving forth across the pulpit to God's people a clear sound, and a sound that helps them to identify who they are, what they are, where they're going, and what it is God desires their life to become. I want to tell you first off that I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt that the first portion of the voice of every true pastor should give a clear sense of destiny. And this is something that you need to have in your life. You need a sense of destiny because this is a portion of what the Scripture lays out. You've got to have a sense of destiny. Also, you should have evidence of growth, which is evidence of emotional stability. And in order for us to go on to perfection, which means to maturity, we shouldn't be in the mode of the roller coaster. And especially in our marriages, in our relationships, we should be able to, by this point in time, have allowed the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit to be able to control our upbringing, our rearing, and all of the problems that we are dealing with in ourselves. So we should have some evidence of emotional stability. We should have a clear sense of destiny. I also believe that we should have been in a place to where we have allowed the Lord to produce in us a relational capacity. We need to be in a place to where we have the ability to hold relationships and healthy relationships, as Abraham, who showed himself friendly, and so on and so forth. Also, I believe that we need a divine and we need a personal sense of purpose. And of course, all the books today that deal with that, there's no new thing under the sun. This is what God has given us His plan for, His kingdom for. You are either building your kingdom, or you're building His kingdom, or you're doing nothing. So we need a sense of purpose. And then I believe that the Word of God and the church should be placing within us a large capacity for success. And I think that these things that I've mentioned to you, that when you look at all the things that are said across this pulpit throughout the years, there are times when we are corrected. There are times when we are encouraged. There are times when we are given information. But every piece of the balanced diet that God gives to us should be producing these five things in your life. Now, if you did not identify these five things that are in your life, then you need to ask yourself, are you missing out on some of the meals? Or are you not applying the prescriptions that the great physician is giving to us to apply? I will tell you, I did not choose to be a Christian, but I'm so glad I surrendered. I didn't certainly choose to be a pastor, and I'm so thrilled that I am. And I will express to you that if the Word of God wasn't true and didn't work in my life, I wouldn't get up and preach it to others. I have found that living for God hard is very easy. But those that try to live for God easy really have a hard time trying to live for God at all. And so I believe, as Pastor Bo stated earlier about not New Year's resolutions, but New Year revolution, I believe that we really need to come to a place to where we start now, even now, the first of this year, to where we decide who we are, what we are, where we're going, what we want to accomplish. I believe a mature relationship with God has three components. And I say this through study, but also through observation of hundreds of people through almost 30 years of being in this Christian walk. I believe that the three components that a mature Christian relationship has is, number one, if you are a mature Christian, I can speak to you about the Word of God, and we're not speaking mysteries, because we're speaking about something we both have knowledge of. If you do not have knowledge of the Word of God, then you can move on to maturity. This is God's plan. And if you aren't accessing and giving time to infilling your mind, the Word of God does magic. It's like when your computer gets slow or gets a virus. The Word of God is the antivirus. It does things miraculously that you aren't even aware that are going on. He is called the Counselor. And you may not understand how reading Genesis can give you revelations. And you may not understand how reading the Levitical law can give you the answer to how to handle this situation with your son or your daughter. But see, His ways are higher than your ways. He has placed in this manuscript, the Holy Bible, the Word of God, the words that will come in, and even while you sleep, will work, for lack of a better word, magic. So I believe that this three components of a mature relationship with God not only deal with the knowledge of His Word and His ways, but I believe a mature relationship means that you've entered into covenant with Him. You're someone He can depend on, just like you can depend on Him. It would be terrible to have a God that we could not depend on, and yet He would probably feel bad about those of us that express being His bride that He can't depend on. And of course, the last statement that I will make about what I see in a very balanced, mature relationship is not only knowledge of His Word and God's ways, and not only someone that recognizes the weight of being in covenant with Him, but someone that knows how to truly worship Him. These three enhance one another. I want to teach this morning, or sermonize this morning, on the subject identification. It is of utmost importance in the hour that we're living in, with what they call on the nightly news the illegal alien scenario. I know whenever I was in the jungles of South America, when we've been in the Middle East, wherever we have traveled throughout the world, that we take our passport, because proper identification is of utmost importance. I want to read Genesis chapter 2, verse number 19. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19. Last Sunday, we brought this thought to you, and many people have commented on how it has helped them launch their new year, because it's the Word of God. But in Genesis chapter 2, 6,000 years ago, God formed man. And then in verse number 19 of Genesis 2, and it says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and He brought them into Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." And what we see is that with the present case of God doing this, He actually was saying, "Adam, you name what it is you're going to live with." And this is exactly, psychologically, if we were to examine ourselves, what we are doing, whether we recognize it or not. What we have named things is what we're living with. You're either living in a miserable marriage with a spouse that's nothing but a bickerer and a fighter and a this and a that, or you have learned to rename it and allow it to become what it is you call it. The power of words is phenomenal. This is the power of words. It's what the venue that is used to reach the minds of men. And we know today that all people think exactly alike, for each one of us, as I've said before, thinks in words. And therefore, if we think in words, whenever we change the words we think, we change our thoughts, which change our actions. And therefore, when God said to Adam, I want you to name what it is you're going to live with, and whatsoever you call it is what it will be. We are living in what we are talking. Now, I am not trying to be out of balance. I am not trying to teach you some little magic phrase. Living for God is an accumulation of several different sciences of God's Word that come together. But this is certainly a fundamental foundation of faith, and that is what we are talking is what we're living in, because the power of our tongue, which we recognize holds the power of life and death. And if we would go home and we would learn to listen in the quiet moment to the voice of our home, what has our home absorbed from the conversations that have been spoken to it, in it? And I'm not trying to be silly, and I'm not trying to say the walls have absorbed and have memory, but just I'm giving you a story. Think about for a moment what words have been echoed throughout the halls of the home. And here we are at the first of a new year, where we need to understand that we can change our living conditions. We can change our future by renaming the situations we're looking at. And we find that every one of us in this room, we have things that we need to rename. How we speak of something is how we think of that thing. She is either my sweetheart and the love of my life, or she is the witch that shows up after dinner. I am being honest with you. Many of us have cursed ourselves because of our tongue, and what we spoke is what it became.
That's good.
And so I'm wanting us to understand the biblical precept, and I'll get to some example in a moment. So if we'll change what we call it, what happens is we'll change how we see it.
Yes.
And when we change how we see it and what we call it, then our actions begin to change. Now, Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So my faith must fight for what I do not see. For why would a man hope for that he already has? I've already got it. My hope and my faith is being harnessed, is being polished, is being challenged for the things I've not yet attained. And therefore, if we're not cautious and careful, we find ourselves giving up on dreams, desires, and visions that at one time we had, because rather than them give us purpose, they bring to us frustration or senses of hopelessness. And that's whenever we come to the house of God, because this is one of the ways that God uses to sharpen us. I want to just say this to you. Before you leave here today, I promise you that you will have more inspiration than you walked in with. And it's not because of the quality of the message or the ability of the speaker that's standing before you today. It's because of the power of the Word of God.
Amen.
There will be times in this message this morning, as short as it will be, that you are going to find yourself wanting to stand up and say, amen.
Amen.
There will be other times that you'll find yourself wanting to say, oh me. But the portions where you say, oh me, are also the portions you should be saying, amen. Because what oh me means is I have found something I can agree with about myself, and it's something I need to rename. If you are ready to rename some things in your life because you are ready for a greater future than you've ever had, I want you to stand to your feet and give the Lord a hand of praise at this time. Now, my faith must fight for what I do not see. We're going to understand that my faith's output has a lot to do with what I have given in input. I cannot feed it nothing but sports and television and video games and whatever and expect some miraculous faith to come forth. There is no free lunch. And so what we become is what we have worked at. You don't build a body like Arnold at one time had, Schwarzenegger, by eating bonbons and chips and drinking sodas and never working out. God has designed things to where what we receive is what we have sown is what we shall reap. In Romans chapter 10, so input and output are very dependent on each other. If I'm not speaking good things, my wife and I get a kick out of each other because at times we'll be a little bit negative in the car about whatever subject, and we'll look at each other and say, yeah, we're spreading that love, you know. And if we're not careful, we listen to our conversations and we find out, no, we're not spreading love. We're speaking things that don't lead to anything good at all. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, I am not taking this scripture out of context, which I've heard it taken out of context many times to say a lot of things it doesn't mean. But it does mean this. You cannot believe on what you have not heard. You can believe on what you've not seen. But you cannot believe on what you've not heard. And therefore, when we preach the word of God, we may preach things you've not seen. But the preaching of the word is not foolishness, because the power of the word of God will create in you a God birth place that He put within your soul when He created you that will allow you to see He has something better for you. It has your name on it. But He's waiting for your faith to fight the good fight. Let me go on. So what do I need to identify this morning to rename in my life? Why don't we identify it today, so that we can go ahead and change our tomorrows? We were planting oak trees this week. We didn't buy live oaks because we won't be alive when they'd put out shade. So we bought water oaks, and we bought shamar oaks, and we bought faster growing oaks. And our only regret is that we didn't plant them 20 years sooner. And I want to tell you, had we planted them 20 years sooner, we'd already have a lot of blessings to sit under the shade of that tree. But the truth of the matter is, I don't want to go on throughout my life and look back and understand that I have some things that I could have changed had I worked earlier on them. And so I'm professing to you today, before you leave your head on the pillow tonight, you need to take this lesson and identify some things in your life that it's time to rename. Now, if you don't want to do that, that's fine, because you're not going to change. You're like the mindless group that's just being led along by the music. And it is incredible, and I say this with a smile, it is an incredible generation that we live in. The songs have no meaning. What we built our lives on have no lasting substance. What does sports do for you when you go to watch sport? When you go to watch a game, what's that going to add to your future? What is Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds got to do with anything? I mean, when you look at what we are handing our kids to build their lives on, it has no value at all. And there is nothing that's going to create something of substance. We certainly would be in trouble if they had to milk a cow, or if they had to hang a gate or fix a toilet, because they know how to turn on the TV. So we are building generations of people that now in America have absolutely no idea of an original thought or to produce a life that is going to finish well. Your life will not finish well if you can't take care of yourself. Your whole life should be about you not only being able to take care of yourself, but taking care of those around you. We all must take full accountability for who we are, what we are, where we are.
Amen.
We cannot blame others. We must understand it is I that needs to rename my... Your dad may have called you mistake, but that doesn't mean that's what you are, because your daddy didn't make you.
Right.
You came through your daddy, but you came from God. And God says, I renamed mistake a child of God. And when you begin to put a new name and a new word on your current situation, you'll begin to walk different and talk different.
Amen.
Let me go on. Paul said, Silas, this is not a prison. But at midnight, he says it's a place of praise. And as they begin to praise God, the miracle of God enters in. We know the story. The prison door opens. And then I shared last week, Joseph said, this is not a jail I've been cast in by Potiphar's wife, but this is a place of promotion. Therefore, it became one. I want to give to you something that I wrote many years ago that I read at this time of year. And I want to start by reading. It's called My Hand Vision Statement. And these are biblical thoughts that have developed throughout the years. Number one, situations do not change faith. Situations do not change faith. Faith changes situations. Do I need to say that again? You see, that's sharpening us. That is renaming our situation. Wherefore, the situation's not in control, but the situation has turned up the thermometer in my life and made it a thermostat to understand that, no, this is a situation that my faith can change. Number two, my faith is not a thermometer, but my faith is a thermostat. In other words, I can control the environment around me. And I can control my response ability. I may not be able to control what life throws at me, but I can certainly control how I respond to it.
Amen.
Anybody in agreement with that?
Amen.
The other thing I've learned is that when I think like God, I will see the end from the beginning. So I ask you this morning, and I want you to listen to me closely. Where is your current lifestyle leading you? My goal is to finish well and miss. My goal is to complete the journey. And in my goal and in my vision, I have seen my wife and my children and my grandchildren and my daughters-in-law serving God, teaching the Word of God. And it may not all be what I see, but it's not over yet, because God has given to us the power of intercession, and nothing shall be impossible. It's not time to write people off. It's not time to give up. You see, that is currently the situation that is trying to change your faith. The enemy says, if I get enough stuff they can see, they'll forget what they hear. And we start looking at circumstances and forget that God gave unto us the faith that is in things not seen. Therefore, it's time to speak in prayer. Do you think God doesn't want your family to be successfully saved as much as you do? But He's put it in your hands. He paid the price of salvation by the blood at Calvary. But now He's waiting for someone to fight the good fight of faith. Had someone not have knocked our door 35 years ago and invited my wife to church, where would we be today? If somebody hadn't prayed for you, if you didn't have a parent, do you understand how much power you have in your future if you would begin to spend any amount of time doing what God called you to do versus what the world has programmed us to do? We don't know who we are. Number five. Here is what I have to work with. I'm reading my vision statement. And it's enough. And it's good. And it's the right roadmap. It's the Word of God. We look at things we do not have. It's time to rename them. The little widow said, it is my last little bit of oil. It is my last little bit of meal. I'm going to make my last cake, and my son and I are going to die. But a prophet came along. Someone that was going to speak the Word of God. Because what the Word of God does is open our eyes to what is possible. And that's exactly what we need in our life right now. We need to understand with men it is impossible. But with God all things are possible. And He is challenging us today to allow our faith to come to a level.
Yes, amen. Thank you, Lord.
God's vision has given me a plan. And a plan helps me first to be, second to do, and third to have. And it comes in that order. You must ask yourself, where are you going? Where is your heart? Where is your mind? What do you have designed for the next 30 years of life, should the Lord tarry? Do you have a clear vision on what you want to end like? Or are you just being buffeted along by every wind of sound of doctrine or any of the latest groups on TV or latest whatever is going on in the world? Or do you have a clear, concise sound that you are firmly planted in, with the Word of God being your anchor? Because we don't understand as parents that we affect multiple generations. That your children are not listening to what you have sold them to do. Your children are watching the sermon you are teaching them. That is by your actions.
Amen.
We need to rename some things. I know who I am. I know what I am. I know what I am to do. I will do it. If I sow a thought, I will reap, I want you to listen, an action. Thoughts produce actions. If I sow an action and I just do it a few times, I will reap a habit. And if I sow a habit, I eventually reap a character. And when I sow my character, I will reap a destiny.
Amen.
And therefore, it all started, my destiny, with a thought. It is time to rename some thinking. It is time to identify who I am, what I am, where am I going, what is leading me, who are my counselors.
Yes, amen.
That's good.
I will establish effective actions on a daily basis until they become habits that will bring forth a fruitful harvest. Now, I got this out of my notes because it's the first of the year. I need a tune-up. I've got some things I need to rename. I've got some course adjustments to make. And I ask myself this year again, as I have every year, who are my counselors? Who are my advisors and my mentors? Because if it's just people that are discouraged, discouraged people are easy to find. And if it's people that are ready to quit and give up, they're everywhere. And if it's people that don't want to rename anything but want to rely on the misery they're living in and life sucks and it's going to get worse, if you're not around someone that is sharpening you towards the goal line of heaven, I've seen a lot smarter than you missed out. I've seen people start out a lot more dedicated than I that aren't in the race any longer. And we need to understand there is not a one of us in this room that by our own power can make it. If we would understand that, and like Abraham Lincoln said, don't just dangle them over hell for a little bit. Some of us need a little hell in our life to understand that first love we were given when we found Jesus Christ. Some of us need a little hell in our life to remember what it was like when we got that report the doctor said it was impossible. Some of us need a little hell in our life to wake us up again to the addictions we had. And I'm not here to judge and I'm not here to condemn. I'm simply saying, where are you going today? What is your plan? Who are you? Because your identification by your papers, who you say you are, doesn't mean that's who you are. What are you? We live in an hour where making a statement we think causes us to be a Christian. Are your counselors' lives what you want yours to become? Are you following someone that their life speaks of success, speaks of the things you want in your life? Because if it doesn't, then why are you hooked up with that? Are you hooked up with people that are getting closer to God or getting further away from God? It's just that simple. I'm not angry. I'm smiling. But birds of a feather eventually flock together. We cannot remain where we are in our knowledge of God and think that somehow we're going to go on to total victory. God, in His infinite wisdom and His love, can you imagine 39 years I've been blessed with my awesome wife in this relationship and I'm content. Most of the time. And I'm wanting us to understand that if we didn't work on this relationship, sometimes loudly, and to think that we're going to live for God and just remain where we are in our knowledge of God, and think that we're going to go on to supernatural things? Or have you become someone that's just into religion where God's up there, you're down here, you go to church because it's a fire insurance policy? Hope that works. Did you know that we've all been born with potential, but to become totally effective, we've got to be trained and developed?
Amen.
This is exactly what God's Word does. Are you being trained and developed by His Word? Because someone's training you. The music will play and you'll run and dance. They'll say bow or burn. God can give your trial and my tribulation, your tribulation, purpose to train me, to strengthen me, to perfect me. Therefore, your place of suffering you can rename and turn into your path to perfection. I will start today. Today is the day of salvation. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. This sermon requires true grit because it's a time where I've got to identify who I really am. I had a thought one day. I wept because I started thinking about a dear friend that I didn't have any longer. I don't know why they dropped me, but they did. And it dawned on me that my relationship with God should be like my relationship with a true friend. And that's why Jesus said, I'm a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, this is just to bring all religiosity down to where we live. Are you treating God as well as you treat your friends? Are you as reliable to Him as you are accountable to your closest mate? And having said that, we can understand 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, when the Word of the Lord says, examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self first. I want you to remember that proper identification is not made by who you say you are. Proper identification is made by who you actually are. What you are. And then you've got to look at who you are and what you are as to what made you that way. And if you don't like who you are and what you're becoming, then it's real simple. You've got to change what made you that way. But more importantly, what I have found with many people is they're not dreamers. It was the dreamers in the Word that excelled. And by that I mean they have no vision of what they really want to be. Because until you know what you really want to be, you can't become it. And the world does its best to keep most of us in that sea of the storm of either rocking us to sleep or keeping us busy rowing to where we can get no firm vision on where we're going. Until you have a clear picture of who you are and who you want, what you want to become, your vision, and what your vision is, you can't attain a powerful position of dominion. Because you don't have a picture to believe in and fight for. You have eyesight, but no blurred vision. But you have a blurred vision. Well did Isaiah speak of this generation. I want to close with this portion of Scripture in Genesis chapter 21, verse number 17 through 19. God heard the voice of the lad, and the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven. And he said unto her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, and hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. And God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went, and she filled the bottle of water, and she gave the lad drink. This is the story, as you know, of when Abraham, Sarah says, you tell the handmaiden and her son to leave. We find Hagar and the boy are in the wilderness. They're out of water. They're about to thirst to death. And upon this situation, suddenly God, when He hears them cry out, opens her eyes. how many things are within your grasp? The well was there all the time. The well was within Hagar's eyesight. But Hagar's vision wasn't clear. So Hagar couldn't see God's provision. Honey, say that again. We have eyesight to see, but we lack vision. And all the promises that God has made to us are within reach. They're within the realm. And God's waiting for someone to say, I'm going to rename it, not the end of me and the boy, but the beginning of great nations. That's what Ishmael became. We're living proof of that today as we fight in battles against his seed. How many opportunities, how many situations, what's your vision? Because if you'll get a God-birthed, Scripture-based picture in our minds and believe and then fight for it, you will see that what it is that God has placed in your mind, He has also placed within your grasp. What's that in your hand? I don't want riches. I don't want fame. I just want to end well. How do you end well? You stand with me. I'll tell you how I end well, Kevin, is when I take my last breath, I hold on to the faith. I'll tell you how I end well. It's when I'm in my deathbed, should I have that awesome opportunity to have that type of death rather than instantaneous through a car accident or whatever, that my family will gather around and be in prayer for me as I was seated with Michael Williams' family. I want to end well. What does that mean? That means I want to have something to leave my children. It doesn't have to be millions. That is spoiled anyway. But I'm reaching for something better every day. But I have the end in sight. And that is when I leave here. When I leave here, that I believe the Word of God is true. The blood of the Lamb will blot out all my transgressions. And that I have fought a good fight. And I'm telling you this morning that if you have something in your life that's leading you the wrong way, there's no shame in that. You would be strange if you didn't.
That's correct.
I wish you felt my love and not my judgment. Because I can start right here. And I can go down the list. And every one of us in this room has demonic things we're fighting. Whether it's worry, doubt, confusion, fear, money. Just make a list and we can fill it up. And for us to think we can come to the house of God, to come to the house of God, the place where we can lay these burdens down, to the come to the house of God where we can get sharpened and understand nothing shall be impossible, and to walk out that door without ever giving God an opportunity to intercede. Well, I got prayed for. You need to be prayed for again. So I'm asking anybody that needs prayer, wants prayer, stand before this altar. We'll see to it you get prayer. I'm asking that anyone that wants to rename their situation, you can do it where you sit or you can come to either side of this platform. No one's going to bother you. I am renaming my situation to my house is a holy place. And my entire family and all the seed are going to serve God. My attitude will express the fruit of the Spirit. And I will walk in peace. Some of you men gather around down here around Brother Johnny. He's going in for surgery this Monday. I want to identify who I am, what I am. But more importantly, I'm going to identify today, now, what I want to become. And then I'm going to go after it. And here's the key. You see, when you know you're so far gone, you no longer even want it, is the time to come boldly before the throne of grace and cry out to God. Do I need to say that again? Because the step after that, you don't want to experience it. Spiritual warfare, the pulling down of a stronghold. 2 Corinthians 10, though we walk in flesh, we don't war against this flesh. And thank God the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God pulling down of strongholds. What is the stronghold? It's the casting down of my imaginations, which means my thoughts and my reasonings. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I have friends. I have neighbors. I have co-workers. I have church people that need a hand, because spiritually they're drifting. Spiritually, maybe they've never been born again. God has given every one of us the power of intercession. If you have already renamed your life, then don't be so selfish as not to rename the life of someone you know. No. That's not a prostitute. That's a delivered woman of God named Rahab, who's going to end up being the great-grandmother of King David. No, that's not someone that's a loser and a drug dealer. That's someone that's going to be a teacher of the Word of God. It is time to understand that without intercession, nothing gets done, folks. He had to speak the world into existence, and it's time that we speak in prayer to God and make our petitions known, because if we don't make our petitions known, they can't be answered. Did this make sense to anybody this morning? I'm going to close with this. It's time to identify the enemy, clarify the plan,